reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together with Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, We're coming with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. It was already dawn. Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, Children, have you caught anything to eat? They answered, No. So he said, Cast the net over the right side of the boat and you will find something. So they cast it and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish you just caught. So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, Come have breakfast. And none of the disciples dared to ask him, Who are you? Because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after having been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Throughout Jesus' resurrection appearances, which we ponder in this octave, the Church is seeking to strengthen us just like Jesus strengthened his first followers. We've seen in his interactions with Mary Magdalene, with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, with all the apostles in the upper room, and today with Peter, James and John, Nathanael, Thomas, and the two other anonymous disciples, that Jesus was working on a pattern, starting from some of their doubts, appearing to them and helping them to recognize that he really was risen from the dead, allowing them to see him, allowing them to ponder the consequences of what that meant. Third, faith was reborn in this. And then once they were believing anew in Jesus, and more deeply than they had prior to his crucifixion, he strengthened them to send them out on mission. He was constantly teaching them about the mission that's going to come from this. Today in this scene on the Sea of Galilee, we see that Jesus meets them and restores them in their original calling. How powerful this must have been for Peter. You've heard all of these experiences of Jesus having risen from the dead. Everybody else is filled with joy, but you are filled with a self-loathing. You had promised that you would never betray the Lord, and that's really where your spirit was, but your flesh was weak. And he apostatized 3 times, denying that she had even heard who he was. And so Peter was trying to flee from confronting that experience and opening himself up to the Lord's mercy. So he went back to what he knew he did well, because he wasn't a good disciple, was he? I'm going fishing. Everybody else was there for Peter. We're going with you. So out they went. And as Cardinal O'Malley likes to say, Peter was like the worst fisherman of all time. Did he ever catch anything by his own wits? But he was out all night, nothing, yet again. And rather than bringing his boat to shore and cleaning his nets and his boat and allowing Jesus to use his boat for a pulpit for his great homily and then having to put out into deep water in daylight when fish on the Sea of Galilee are caught in shallow water at nighttime, Jesus was just there as an anonymous walker on the beach. And he uses an expression that he used only during the Last Supper. Little kids, infants, have you caught anything? They shouted back, nothing. Then he told them, just like he had given indications to Peter when he called them initially to do something, to see if they would obey. Peter did. Hey, he had nothing to lose. They were still out there. Sometimes, even though it was foggy, people on the shore could see the schools of fish that those looking from a different angle couldn't grasp. So occasionally, stuff like this would happen. Cast the nets and caught way too many large fish for the nets that they had. And that's when St. John, who would believe most promptly, recognized that it had to be the Lord. That experience was being reconstituted, that the Lord was pressing the reset button on the original call, helping them to remember that he had called them and that he had not turned away. We sang in the sequence, go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, there I will see them. And there they were. They had followed. And so Peter, as soon as he knew it was the Lord, you know, the translation here is bad. We always sanitize collections. Peter was buck naked in the boat. To say that he was lightly clad, when you look at the Greek, he had no clothes on. It was probably very hot. So he took his garments, he tied them around, and overboard he went. Just like that time when he knew that the Lord and not a ghost was walking to him on the Sea of Galilee. Even though he had been previously fearing for his life, he self-capsized and began to walk on waves as long as he had seen the Lord. This time he did an inner Michael Phelps and swam 100 yards to the shore. And they dragged the fish. And it's interesting. You know, I know last year we pondered a little bit about the meaning of 153. It's important for us to know. But they counted the fish. They recognized that there was something special. And they weren't going to take one for granted. It wasn't just a big net full. They counted the fish. So wondrous was what had occurred. And that number 153 was the number of nations known at this time. It was also the number of species of fish that had been discovered. And so in the symbolism of that number, Jesus was talking about the gospel going to every nation on the earth to catch every conceivable type of human being, every category in which anybody could be fulfilled. They were being sent out to cast out their nets exactly where Jesus indicated, not to be afraid. But just as Jesus had said to Peter at that first appearance at the Sea of Galilee, don't be afraid, from now on you will be catching men, fishing for men. Here, Jesus was saying, don't worry, follow my indications, and the nets will always be at the breaking point. Jesus was helping to strengthen their faith so that they would have the confidence to fulfill his mission, so that even though they might toil and it might seem that their life was fruitless, just to keep doing what he said, because eventually we would catch them all. It's a powerful scene when Jesus is preparing breakfast. Jesus meets them after their all night of work. And we know, and I think it's the worst thing in our entire liturgical calendar, that the church breaks this scene up by 6 weeks. We're going to make you get hunger pains until June 2nd. in order to hear the final part of the story, but it's so key to grasping what Jesus was doing here in the reconstitution of his disciple. He went over, he got the bread and he got the fish and he brought them. He was feeding. He was the waiter on the seashore. And then he pulls Peter aside. Simon, do you love me more than all this stuff? All of this. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But he downgraded the love from agape to philia. In the Greek, it's obvious. He just was not going to say, I would die for you again, because he felt like such an abject failure. A Benedict Arnold. Even a Judas Iscariot. He had betrayed the Lord. So he says, I love you as a friend, but I'm never going to make that same mistake again. So Jesus asked him again, do you love me with agape, Peter? Lord, you know that I love you with philia. So he asked him a third time, and he downgraded it. Peter, do you love me with philia? Peter was dejected and said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you as a friend. But then Jesus wasn't going to leave him there. When you were young, you used to dress yourself and go about as you please. But when you grow old, another will stretch out your arms, a Greek idiom for crucifixion, and drag you to a place you don't want to go. St. John said, indicating the way would die. And then he said, follow me. That in his fishing, he would be following the Lord. And he would follow the Lord all the way to the circus of Caligula and Nero, where he would be crucified upside down. That even though he felt incapable of affirming that he would die for the Lord, Jesus was saying, you will, baby. You will, and I'm counting on you. And we see that type of courage that Peter received from that encounter at the seashore of Galilee in today's first reading. They cured the crippled man at the beautiful gate. Everybody was hanging on their words. The amount of disciples were growing. And the same people who had conspired to murder Jesus publicly had them in their crosshairs. So they were arrested. The captain of the temple guard came. This was big deal. Put him in custody until the next day. And then the cast of villains assembles. The leaders, the elders, the scribes, with Annas, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, all those of the high priestly class, the ones who have suborned the perjury of all those trying to frame Jesus, the ones who had incited the mob to call for Barabbas' release, these guys who would stop at nothing at the murder of Jesus, were now trying Peter and John. Peter and John and the others ran away from the lesser soldiers who had come to the Garden of Gethsemane. But there was something clearly different here. Not only were they strengthened by the experience of Jesus' resurrection, knowing that if he rose from the dead 40 hours after his brutal crucifixion, what do they need to be afraid of? They will rise with him too. These people are no better than ants in terms of the threat value, because God was going to triumph. Strengthened by the parousia of the Holy Spirit, knowing that they were facing potentially their own death, Peter answered, leaders of the people and elders, if we're being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, whom everybody knew, namely by what means he was saved, then all of you and all the people of Israel should know. Here's what they absolutely didn't want to hear. There was a name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. In this name, this man stands before you, healed. But there's no salvation through anyone else, not through the name of Moses, not through the name of Elijah or Jeremiah or any of the other prophets, that this name is the name of Yahweh. This is the way that the human race will be saved. And we'll see exactly what happens. Their lives will be threatened. They'll be imprisoned anew. But nothing was going to stop them. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than everything else? With agape. And Simon Peter was proclaiming that agape love in this testimony. What does it mean for us? Today here, after we've been fasting all night long, the same Jesus who met the disciples on the seashore comes here for us. He's prepared something far greater than bread and fish. He's going to strengthen us with himself. He wants us in this Easter octave to remember that initial call, that time where we knew he was calling us, to go back there because he's lost no confidence in us, even though we might just have a whole long litany of the times we have let him down, the times that we have betrayed him. He's trying to restore us in the middle of our own work, in the middle of what he's asking us to do. He's coming with confidence and saying, do you love me? You were willing once to leave everything else behind to come follow me. Do you still love me? Because I'm going to give you a chance. He wants to strengthen us by his own body and blood so that we might go out and do that work of fishing with him, knowing that the nets are strong and that the fish are still biting because he's the bait. Praise be Jesus Christ.